I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
From Mermaid Palace and Caitlin Prest, that's me.
Asking for It.
Featuring Drew Denny. Episode 3. Three Bears.
Do you know what gaslighting is? Have you ever done it? I have. In third grade, I broke a chair and then blamed the only girl heavier than me. When she denied it, I called her a liar because I was ashamed and terrified of the taunting I knew would follow. But does it matter why I did it, since what I did was wrong?
When were you going to tell me that you have a girlfriend?
Do you need to know everything about my life? Did we agree on that? No, we didn't.
No. This seems
do you, relevant. Am I your possession? Oh, am I no, your possession? Am
no,
I?
No.
Do you own every part of me?
No. No, I just...
I'm sorry.
So that's why you've never invited me over.
Are you accusing me of something right now?
I not not.
This
know
is
that
really
you
hard for
girlfriend.
Me. Do you understand that? Do you understand that I'm upset?
Yes,
I'm upset. This is really. I'm freaking out.
I'm sorry.
And you're not helping.
I'm sorry. I was really shocked.
I really need you to understand me right now.
You're right, and I'm sorry because I should. I love you, and I should trust you. I don't know. I was just this whole situation.
I'm going to say
so
two things that are opposite and true. Number one, when this happens to me,
when my lover tells me that I'm to blame for her mistreatment of me, I've just been jumping to conclusions. I know it's my fault.
And if you told me that this was happening to you, I'd know it's not your fault. Completely, without question, not a shadow of a doubt, and I would tell you, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. You don't deserve this. Why do we treat perfect strangers so much better than we treat ourselves?
How can you still see her when you know that she has a girlfriend?
It's not easy. I know that she's stuck.
But, like, how much time are you, like, willing to wait? Because I feel like it's been a long time already.
I don't know.
Like, is she ever going to leave?
Yes, she says she's going to leave, and it's hard. You know, it's never, like, a good time, you know? And
no,
also,
I know.
She's scared of her girlfriend. So, like, I don't want to put her in danger. I'm trying to be understanding, and...
I know you care about her, but I'm just saying, like, it's also important to think about yourself and, like, what you have to go through.
It's fine. For me, it's fine.
Okay. Well, just don't wait too long.
I stand up for Coach more than I stand up for myself.
A breakup isn't something that happens in a day.
Because she told me her story.
And I've been with her for a really long time.
And I sympathize with her. I feel for her, even though I know in my brain that nothing justifies the bad thing. My heart lets it slide over and over, over and over and over and again. But now, every time I close my eyes, I see her eyes, not Coach. The woman who walked in on us. The woman I thought was transgressing me. Until I realized I'm transgressing her.
I know. The truth is that Coach is transgressing us both.
You said you were staying in tonight. Are you lying?
Like a magician's sleight of hand, I am so focused on criticizing myself that I don't see her deceit. She waves her hand, a dove flies out, and I smile. I don't ask myself, where has she been hiding that bird this whole time? Where has she been hiding that bird this whole time? We now interrupt our usual programming to bring you a special public service announcement. A brief history of gaslighting. You might know the term gaslighting, but in case you don't, the word gaslight came into modern parlance in 1938 when a British playwright named Patrick Hamilton debuted his story of a murderous husband who convinces his wife that she is insane by denying that the light in their gas-powered lamps is dimming each evening, when, in fact, not only are the gas lights growing dim, but they are doing so because he is diverting gas to power lights in the attic, which he is storming about each night searching for treasure, left behind by his wife's aunt, who we later learn he killed in order to steal her fortune. He imprisons his wife in the home and within a mind she no longer trusts. There are older examples of this, of course, but the naming of the phenomenon brought it into public consciousness in a new way. So when Orwell's Big Brother says 2 + 2 = 5, or when queers are told that HIV is a punishment from God, we now know what to call this. Gaslighting. In The Origins of Totalitarianism, Hannah Arendt states, "The result of a consistent and total substitution of lies for factual truth is not that the lie will now be accepted as truth and truth be defamed as a lie, but that the sense by which we take our bearings in the real world is being destroyed." So we see time and time again how gaslighting enables dictatorships, whether that is within a single household or an entire nation. But perhaps the greatest gaslights of all time are the ones that have infected our species as a whole. Racism, sexism, homophobia, all based on fictitious differences, blatant lies about our nature. And the lie that generates them all. Since Darwin's time, we have been led to believe that our closest relatives are chimpanzees. We have been taught that chimps are territorial, murderous, that they rape and commit infanticide. We have looked to nature for an explanation of our darkest desires, found it in these primates, and pointed at this mirror we conveniently discovered and named the blame on human nature. Oh, that's why we go to war and rape women and kill each other. It's not our fault, it's just in our nature. But feminist primatologists have been teaching for decades that there is another primate we're just as closely related to. 98.7% or 99% of our DNA, depending on which study you read. Did you learn about bonobos in high school? Did your teachers tell you how they're matriarchal and how infrequently they fight? And incidentally, how very frequently they engage in same-sex sexual acts and group sex acts rather than rape, murder, and infanticide? If we share just as much of our genetic makeup with these creatures, why are we taught that the warring, murderous, rapist primates are the ones who explain why we are the way we are? Why did we not choose to make a mirror of these peaceful matriarchs? Perhaps it's naive to believe that the more harmonious of the two defines our nature more truthfully than the aggressive. But then is the truth that within each of us lies the capacity to behave like both? The path from victim of abuse to perpetrator of abuse is well-trod. Does that mean that the person was both all along? Or is abuse contagious? Like Teen Vogue says, almost every single one of us already has herpes, and if we experience just the right stressor, then boom, covered in sores. And if you're in a relationship when the abuser within you surfaces, then you've infected your partner, and they are bound to have an outbreak at some point and infect whomever they're with at the time, and so on and so forth until all of us are abused and abusing. Or is it more conscious than that? Is it our job to wake up every day and ask ourselves, am I going to be a bonobo or am I going to be a chimp, and choose the right side? And if you make one choice one day, does that define you for the rest of your life? So who are you? What are you going to be? Are you going to be the bonobo or are you going to be the chimpanzee?
Summer.
Coach, what the
just
fuck is...
Just step out.
What the fuck? I thought you were done with this shit.
I am done. It's just, it was a relapse. Insignificant, short, small relapse. I'm so sorry. I'm just, but she's still in there. So, like, I just need a little bit of time.
Whatever.
Can you just go to the restaurant on the corner and I'll meet you there in an hour?
Okay, fine.
Order your favorite.
I'll just be there.
Okay.
You okay? Who's that?
Okay, I've wanted to tell you this, but I've been scared. That woman, her name is Summer. She lives here.
Like she's your roommate?
We're like in the process of breaking up.
Like, she's your girlfriend?
I'm moving out. That's going to be the end of it. But I'm waiting for the right moment to tell her.
When were you going to tell me that
you have a girlfriend? I'm not proud of this. I wish I could say that this is the first time. But the truth is that... In the last 17 years, the only reason why any romantic relationship I've had has ended is because I got caught cheating. Gloria caught me with Julia, who caught me with Samantha, who caught me with Pamela, who caught me with Melissa, who caught me with Dottie, who caught me with Emily, who caught me with Georgia, who caught me with Sally, who caught me with Summer, who caught me with Goldie.
Welcome to Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. My name is Deb, and I am a sex and love addict.
Hi, Deb.
Please join me in a moment of silence followed by the serenity prayer. Oh, this is a non-hand-holding meeting, so please refrain. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change.
Goddess,
courage,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change.
And the wisdom.
The courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference.
If there are any newcomers present, welcome. Please introduce yourself using your first name only. Sharing is optional. It's now time to open the floor for sharing.
Hi, my name is Coach.
Hi, Coach.
I'm a sex addict, love addict, also definitely codependent, but I know that's a different meaning. I've been lying to my partner and partners. I don't even feel that guilty about it, to be honest. I don't know. I mean, can you blame me? I'm scared. Like, everybody deserves love, don't they? Doesn't everybody deserve to be loved? And neither of these people, no one, loves me in a way that makes me believe that I am safe. And so I keep people in the wings. I need to feel loved to survive. Doesn't everybody need that? Like, look at me, you know? It's not easy for someone like me to be loved. Or at least it wasn't. Up until a certain point. You know? At school, kids called me it. I got pushed out of the girls' bathroom, kicked out of the boys' bathroom, pantsed. High school. It was violent. But I was good at sports. Softball, field hockey. I know, what a stereotype. But, you know, on the field, I felt like I belonged. But in the locker room, girls whispered and hid from me while they changed. I was a bad guy to them. I was in love with this one girl. She played first base. Kind of a string bean, but she was beautiful. Smart and funny, and she'd high-five me and even hug me sometimes when we were celebrating a good inning. And one time I overheard her crying to our pitcher about this guy who forced her to give him a blowjob in the dugout. I came right over to her to offer to beat him up, you know? And her face twisted up. Get away from me. Freak.
Freak.
That's what she said.
You're a freak.
Freak. The ways that I'm different is what got me noticed once I came out, once I moved to a big city. Can you blame me for being insatiable? Can you blame me for wanting to get as much as humanly possible and keep it with whatever means I have? Can you blame me for being afraid? That's where all this is coming from fear. And I need the world and I need the people that I love to understand that. All I know is that it feels like the window's only open for a second and it could slam shut at any time. Like there's some, you know how it is. I mean, you guys are all in therapy, right? Like that 14-year-old watching that girl's face twist up. I can't shake that version of myself. That's who I am on the inside. And on the outside, I look like, you know, I'm like a fucking music icon, whatever. But on the inside, that's who's controlling my behavior. And I can know that, I can say that in this group. But the problem is that I don't know how to fucking change it. I don't know how to start to be more responsible with the people that I care for. And I want to be more responsible to the people that I care for because I care for, you know, I'm in love right now. I know, but I am in love. Like, there's a real chance here.
What if you held the high E?
We're like a fucking dynamic duo, and she's pure. All she cares about is touching people's hearts. And she's totally out of my league, like... The fear is just so loud in my mind.
She told me you were gonna dress like a piece of trash, because then at least I could have chose not to look at you.
Yeah, like, I lie. I'm not telling the full truth, but, like, if I told the full truth, Summer would fucking leave me.
I know you.
And she's my rock.
I know it's gonna get better.
I just need your support. I need you to be with me here.
Always.
Like, will you stay with me through this?
Yeah, of course.
I don't trust Goldie yet. I'm scared of blowing up my life for her. But I also can't...
Okay.
Time? I can't walk away from her because I'm...
Time. Sorry. Time for your share. Time is up for your share, but... I would thank you.
I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of 6 darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. You understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
How's the texting? Are you able to resist?
I'm working. I don't know. No, I'm not able.
Remember what we talked about, urge surfing. Remember, it will pass. Just maybe text it to yourself instead. Chances are, if you're wanting to tell someone to stop doing something, it's probably you who's doing the thing.
Mm. I mean, I'm not doing anything. Like, I feel like they're driving me crazy. Like, I'm just trying to, you know, protect myself and, like, ask for what I need. And, like, I just want to feel safe. Like, I'm just asking for what I need to feel safe. Like, I'm texting because I'm feeling vulnerable and I feel like I'm being taken advantage of, and I need to have contact in order to feel safe. And they both are doing, you know, like they each do their own thing that fucks me up.
If it's about polyamory, like you can have healthy relationships with multiple people. Mm. That just requires honesty, a commitment to respecting boundaries, a lot of processing and really strong, clear communication. But if that's not what turned you on, I think you need to investigate what your desire truly is, because sounds to me like, from what you're saying, it sounds like what you really want is maybe control, you know? Because you're controlling what they each know. It doesn't seem like you get off on the multiple people thing just because there are consensual, respectful, and ethical ways to do that. It just seems like you get off on control.
I'm not controlling them. Like, my partner, for example, she screams at me. She slams doors, like, and Goldie, like, she's a total flirt, you know? Like, there is something to worry about there. She wears assless panties to her shows, you know? Like, is it not within my right to ask for, you know? I mean, maybe I don't ask in the best way, but, like, I don't know. I'm just, like, I'm balancing these two people's emotions. I'm trying to care for them in the ways that I know how. You know, I'm trying to protect them.
You know, I thought I was protecting my partner too, but I woke up, I felt like I was in the Matrix or something. I realized that everything I had been doing and thinking that was keeping her safe was actually hurting her. It was abuse. And I realized the only thing she actually needed protection from was me.
Well, that's not me. Like, that's your shit. That's not me.
Well, I know enough to know that I'm not going to convince you. You'll have to come to that on your own. But can you commit to honesty today? I'm going to hold you accountable. You know, that's my job. That's what this work is about. So can you tell them both the truth? Can you tell Goldie you are not moving out of your girlfriend's? And can you tell your girlfriend that you're seeing someone else?
I feel like I just need to figure out the right time to tell them, you know? I don't want to be cruel. Like,
it's cruel of you to lie. It's not up to you to decide, you know, when is the best moment for her to know the truth. The truth is her right and your responsibility.
Well, but like, what about my feelings? Like, do my feelings matter? Like, what about the cruelty of the reaction that I'm going to get?
What happened when you told her? How did it go?
I'm telling her tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to tell her before this
trip.
Don't
tell me how to do my life, okay? You don't know what's right for me and my partner. Anyway, next week we can use my rehearsal space to work on that new song. I want you to sing backups. It'll be great.
Next week?
Yeah.
And I'm going to Texas. So we're playing.
What?
We're playing.
You said you canceled the show.
I did cancel the show, and then KG and I got into a huge fight, and...
You lied to me.
No, I'm telling you.
How can I... Like, I'm making a huge change.
I'm just going to play one show with my best friend.
I need something stable. I need you to be stable for me.
I should tell her to play the show.
Like,
I need to support her. Just trust.
It's what you do.
Trust
her.
If
you had a show, I would go.
No, I'm drawing a line here. If you play, we're through. I'll break up with you. I'm glad I didn't tell my partner, because I need you to be there. I need you to be home.
I'm
doing
it. You are.
I'm squeezing the
You say that
I'm
now, but when you're at the festival, you're going to be MIA. People fall in love at festivals.
You go to them all the time.
And what happens?
What? If you love someone, shouldn't you want them to succeed? Shouldn't you be supporting them, like being the best version of themselves?
I'm sorry. I want you to go.
Sometimes it feels like I'm floating above my body.
I'm scared of losing.
Like it's not mine.
I'm scared.
But you're not losing.
It's just this animal that I walk around and feed.
All right. Thanks for taking me out of town.
Who's that?
Oh, it's just KG. We have practice.
So I'm gonna move out tonight. Yeah, I'm just gonna do it. So I just wanted to tell you that. Mm-hmm. And I hope you have a good show. And yeah, I guess I'll just stay in a hotel while you're gone. And when you're back, maybe we can look for places. Do you want to move in?
I mean,
it's okay. You don't. I mean, we don't have
no,
to.
No, I would love to. I know that this is really hard for you, and it's. I don't want to just like get excited about us moving in together because I know it's complicated and.
Okay, you better go. I got it. I gotta go. I love you too.
Okay. God. Well, let me know.
Yeah. Text me. Okay. Or don't text me. I'm trying not to the no texting.
Okay, I'll call
you.
I'm on
you. Detox. Yeah.
Good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Fuck. What was that pause about?
For places.
Do I want to live with you? Now that I know that you have had another girlfriend this whole time, I'm kind of like, why don't
this
I have another
really
girlfriend?
Hard on you, and I don't want to just like get excited about us moving in together because I know it's complicated.
She doesn't want to move in.
She needs you.
KG and I have always had this tension. And I don't want to.
No, I'm not doing any of
the festival.
By like this getting. She's not gonna fuck somebody at South by.
After I fuck other people and I have that dark feeling,
she could.
Let's go back to my room.
I don't know. I guess what I'm saying.
When I'm like stumbling home full of someone else's cum.
I don't want to live with you, but I do want to have you on standby.
She doesn't.
Come see my show tomorrow.
Yeah. She's definitely going to fuck someone at South by.
Hey, babe.
Hey.
How was your trip?
It was fine. Emotional.
Yeah.
As usual.
Well, I got us pizza.
You did?
Yeah, I got crispy crust.
Oh my god. I'm so hungry. listen, Summer. I have something I want to say.
Okay.
Can I say something? It's not bad.
Okay.
Just one second. I'm just gonna, I'm gonna turn this off. Okay.
What is it?
I know it doesn't seem like I respect you, but I respect you more than anyone on this planet. Like, you are the most loving person, the most understanding person. You get people, and you get me. And I am not an easy person to get, and I just feel like it's a testament to your empathy and your kindness and the genius you have with people. And I just want to spend the rest of my life learning from you. And, like, I want to get married. Do you want to? I promise, like, I know that I've said I'll be different a lot of times, but, like, you know that I'm working on it, and I just feel like I can't do it without you. I can't do it without you. And you, like...
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Rip off my clothes for shit from head to toe. Don't let me go, go. Don't tell me no, no. I don't know why you're hiding this feeling. You better speak up and act like you mean it. Roll me over, close my eyes. Teach me what to see and
This has been the third episode of Asking for It, a serialized fiction podcast brought to you by CBC Podcasts and Mermaid Palace, my new audio arts company. Go to mermaidpalace.org if you want to learn more about the makers of the show, see pictures of Goldie and Coach and their whole universe, or if you want to learn about other Mermaid Palace shows. This show is written by Drew Denny. You can follow her at DangItDrewDenny. It was produced by me, Caitlin Prest. You can follow me at Caitlin Prest. Audio production by Ryder Alsop. We had help with audio production and sound design by Phoebe Unter in the first trimester of this project. Thanks, Phoebe. Sound design by Ryder, me, and Harry Nazen, who is also our mix engineer. Harry and I did the final mix of the whole show at the amazing Apollo Studios in Toronto. Original scoring in this episode by the great Christina Gaillard. You heard Drew Denny as Goldie and Bonobo Ranter, and Deb, the slaw moderator, Christina Gaillard as KG, AJ Moutre as Coach's slaw sponsor, Ed Valentine as Summer, and Phoebe Unter as the freak girl from Coach's softball team. Thank you to all of the people who listened and gave notes to our many, 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 many rough cuts. You know who you are. We are very, very grateful for the time that you spent to help us make this great. You heard music in this episode by Drew and Christina's real live band, Hips. Go to showusyourhips.com to support their music. It's very special, and they're releasing an album to go along with this show. Check it out. Listen to the songs over and over again. From CBC Podcasts, our executive producer is Arif Nourani, the senior producer is Tanya Springer, and our digital coordinating producer is Judy Z. Gu. If you identify with Goldie or Coach, if you hear yourself or your partner in the relationships represented on this show, we want you to know that there are resources available to help you. In North America, there are a few programs specifically treating LGBTQ victims, survivors, and perpetrators of intimate partner abuse. Reach out to the Los Angeles LGBT Center at lalgbtcenter.org. They are one of the only programs of their kind and offer sliding scale and free crisis counseling, as well as safety planning services to victims of domestic violence. The National Domestic Violence Hotline is available by phone at 1-800-799-SAFE or can be reached online, where you can get help without saying a word out loud by chatting with their care advocates at www.thehotline.org. Thanks for listening. Take care. The two-woman band in Asking for It is a real live band. The duo is Drew Denny and Christina Gaillard, aka Goldie and KG. Their band is called Hips in Real Life. They put the music of the show and the songs that inspired them on a CBC music playlist. You can go to cbc.ca/listen. or the CBC Listen app and click on Playlists. You'll find Asking for It there.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.